السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
Welcome to the Casa Studio, Dad.
ما شاء الله.
الحمد لله. Are you ready? Are you feeling great? Or do you see how she starts to, how the cat starts to play?
Yeah, it's a new environment for her. Yeah.
Bless her. Okay. So I thought we could keep going with the 40 rules of love.
Ya Allah.
Yeah? Okay. If I'm not mistaken, we stopped at this one last time because you said it was too big and beautiful to just
squeeze in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. I think it was rule 15, if I'm not mistaken. But here we are. Okay, bismillah. Rule 15. It's easy to love a perfect God, unblemished and infallible that he is. What is far more difficult is to love fellow human being with all their imperfections and defects. Remember, one can only know what one is capable of loving. There's no wisdom without love. Unless we learn to love God's creation, we can neither truly love nor truly know God.
Allah. The whole aspect of love is to teach one how to share this love with others. If you're really seeking the heavenly love or the love of God or the al-hubb al-ilahi, you will not reach there without mastering the love of the other humans. And for God's sake, by love, I do not mean the romantic, lusting relationship between a man and a woman. There is an aspect in that relationship that can be godly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually the most, maybe the most difficult thing to master, because you have to overcome your ego in order to love your partner without an ego.
Yeah.
And to love your partner in a heavenly manner.
Yeah.
That's, you know, all what we call hiyam and ishq, the stories of love that we hear of between a man and a woman do not fall into that. Like Majnun and Layla, does not fall into that perspective.
Yeah.
The most accurate form of reflecting this love is in the Hadith Sharif, أحب لأخيك ما تحبه لنفسك, which were that which you love to you, love to yourself, love to see happening to you. You need to see. You need to love it for. You
it's
need
to wish
want
upon
it.
Yourself what you wish for your neighbor, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know how easy it is to just go and repeat one of those phrases.
Yeah.
And feel good about yourself because you're really good at it. And,
yeah.
And you pronounced it the right way and you sounded so wise. Come to the application and you'll see what a cumbersome task that is.
Yeah.
Forgive. Let's take the example. It's very easy to ask others to forgive and to talk about forgiveness till you are put into a situation where you're tested, where so much injustice has been inflicted on you. And then you need to forgive.
Yeah.
Or you must forgive. Or you want to forgive. And let's see how you would react then.
What do you mean?
Let's see how we would react as humans.
When what?
When injustice is being inflicted on us and we want to apply forgiveness. The same applies here in the concept of love.
Yeah.
So the at the end of this, if you want to master the love of the godly love, you need to master the love between each other on this domain here.
Yeah.
And nothing is more testing than trying to love your fellow humans with all of your and their imperfections. read it again?
It's easy to love a perfect God, unblemished and infallible that he is. What is far more difficult is to love fellow human being with all their imperfections and defects. Remember, one can only know what one is capable of loving. There is no wisdom without love. Unless we learn to love God's creation, we can neither truly love nor truly know God.
One may even claim that we've been tested with the imperfections of each other.
Just that simply, we're a mirror of each other. Yeah, yes. It's what you dislike in a person is something you clearly have in
you. Have
within you. Yeah.
And that process of like and dislike, and mainly the dislike, if you master it and then you know why it is happening and you overcome it. I remember you had a small reel where you talked about starving the ego. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people was like, what do you mean by starving the ego?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't mean that you keep yourself imprisoned in a room and just wither. The ego can only be starved by contradiction, where you contradict the ego, where you do what the ego does not like you to.
Yeah.
In the most painful times where you really want to hate someone.
Yeah.
You find enough within you to love even those who have afflicted pain on you.
I read something somewhere. Bismillah, it said to understand is to forgive, or to forgive is to understand. And I really thought about that for a moment, especially when it comes to people who have wronged me or, just people who have harmed me along the way. And if I had to put myself in their shoes, like truly, put my feelings aside, take nothing personally, and understand where they came from or what motivated them or what inner child wound they had that led them to take such drastic decisions, the human in me, the Muslim in me, has no choice but to forgive, because has no choice but to understand, but to empathize, but to see where a person operated from, you know? So it really hit me, to understand is to forgive. And I think that's why most people won't take the time to understand you, won't take the time to listen to you, won't take the time to walk a mile in your shoes.
If you noticed lately how difficult it is even to share a sentence with people.
Oh, with you can't. Have you seen my videos? I said opinion is the lowest form of intellect, and I was quoting a Greek philosopher, and every Tom, Dick, and Harry seems to think they're smarter.
Yeah. وإعجاب كل ذي رأي برأيه. This is the sign.
Yeah, everyone is in awe of their own opinion. Everyone is so fascinated and taken aback by how phenomenal their own opinions are. They've come up with something that no one else has said before.
Let me tell you the news. This is actually a sign of the end of
time. End of time, yeah. Yeah,
it
yeah,
is
yeah.
In our hadith, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, one of the signs, وَإِعْجَابَ كُلَّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ. Everyone who has an opinion is so in awe of his own opinion.
Yeah.
In the traditional wisdom, men shied away from even expressing an opinion.
Yeah.
They were big to share an opinion, and they refused because it's not a sign. It's not ilm.
Mm.
It's not a knowledge.
Yeah. The things that I speak on so confidently are the things that I know are like just dipped in the truth of Islam. You know, this is what I know. Regardless if my opinion changes, my experience in life changes, this remains true. This doesn't falter. Do you get what I mean?
Yes.
And then I get a lot of DMs. A lot. People asking me to speak on certain things. For example, when I posted that selfie of me in the prayer outfit, and I just said nothing mends and heals my soul like prayer. That was a day you and the immediate family knows. Alhamdulillah, God blessed me with something, and I was so excited, and I shared it with all of you. after the excitement died down and I showered and I just came to chill on my couch, just broke down in tears with gratitude. And I was like, you have to ummi salli rak'atayn shukr. Like, you're going to get up and you're going to pray 2 rak'ahs and just say thank you. Ask for nothing, just say thank you. And alhamdulillah, I was just so overwhelmed with gratitude. Truly, like, overwhelmed with gratitude. And I cried and stuff, and I took a picture in that moment just to remember it. And I'm the type who doesn't take pictures and hoards memories. And I just sent it to you and my mother and my siblings. And I was like, it's a cute picture. Let me post it on Instagram and say, like, prayer mends my soul. Because whenever I do that, someone gets up and prays. It's just, it's insane. Like, my community is beautiful. They'll DM me and they're like, I saw that, I got up and I prayed. I love that. Anyway, it's a long story, but sorry for all the rambling. But I got a bunch of DMs of, can you give your opinion on the hijab? And I find that so interesting that you would leave this whole world of beautiful men and women who have deep-rooted knowledge in Islam on what to do and what not to do. And you would leave all that
and come ask me for my opinion.
I suppose I should be flattered because perhaps they care about, or maybe they want to hear it from someone that they...
Pushy cat.
Ah, sorry, my cat. By the watch the comments come in like, your cat was too distracting. Well, this is where I am. But I suppose I should be flattered because I got a few DMs where it's like, perhaps it's not my place to ask, but why the hijab and whatever. And I only answered, you're right, it isn't your place to ask. And they'd be like, no, I didn't mean any harm or offense. I just really want to know. I suppose I should be flattered that you would seek my opinion. But I'm also, I don't get it. Because it's not, number one, it's not my area of expertise. I'm not with hajj. It is not my area of expertise. There's nothing that I could add to your life that would give you the guidance or the counsel that you're looking for. You know? And then another comment I'll get all the time is my nails. How do you pray with your nails on? And I just say one thing. I'm like, kul hal Islam. All this hundreds of years of knowledge and books and this is what you want to focus on?
Alhamdulillah.
So this is my version of, it's testing me to love these people.
There is no place for an opinion here. If you want to know, you can go read.
I will say one thing. Sorry that I interrupted you. I will say one thing. My friend messaged me. She's a really, really sweet girl. Her name is Jude. I won't share her family name because perhaps she doesn't want me to share it. She's a lovely little creative, just sweetheart, okay? And been a follower like from the start, tamam? And she messaged about the nails. But because she's a friend, I also said, I'm like, Jude, tarakti kul ishi, and this is what you focused on, habibi. Like, this is what you focused on with my prayer selfie. And she's like, no, it's just that I really am curious because I love nail polish. I like having my little girly hands. And she's like, but every time I pray, people will come to me and tell me, salatak mish mustajab. I was like, number one, you tell these people to sufa ajanab. Because I think everyone needs to take a look inwards.
أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَى. You cannot ask people not to pray.
Yeah.
Because they are not in your standards, in your perception. They are not doing it right. That's horrible.
I just think everyone needs to take a look inwards. So number one, I think if this is my advice, if you are on the path of finding a relationship with God, and you have those naysayers that are telling you, no, this is haram, or no, you can't do that, oh no, your prayer isn't accepted, and they're making you feel defeated, and no matter how hard you're trying, it's like, okay, well, I tried to pray today, but I had my nail polish on, so salati mish mustaj. You need to put those naysayers to the side. That's number one. Anyone who is giving you a negativity when it comes to you trying to find your relationship with Allah, you need to put to the side. And then number two, this is what I told her, because this is what I do. Because I know the weakness in the nails. You think I don't know, you think I'm not self-actualized, but what I do, and I told her this, I was like, I pray to Allah. I'm like, Ya Rabbi, I am weak. I'm struggling to let go of the nail polish.
I've seen a lot of new converts in my life with their wives, sometimes alone. And I've seen how they went through those challenges. In the beginning, yes, I like Islam, but I cannot do this and I cannot do that. And I cannot
let go of this and I can't change this, yeah.
And it's like, it's okay, just hold to what you can.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really take long because إن هذا الدين متين فأوغلوا فيه برفق. This is a solid religion. Delve into it gently.
Yeah.
The more there is no way you can defeat this religion and the concepts of it.
Yeah.
Your brain can defeat you. Your ego can defeat you. Your misunderstanding, your misconception can defeat you.
Yeah.
But the elasticity and the flexibility and the holisticness of this religion is beyond the grasp of an average brain.
Yeah.
So my advice is hold to what you can hold. Do as much as you can do. And each and every one of us has his own challenges and has its own limitations.
Yeah.
I do recall years ago when I used to travel to Europe a lot and do work. And when the time of my prayer, I would ask for a corner. And they would like, okay, we don't have, we want to bring it. No, just get me a chair. Just get me a chair. And because I am in Europe and because I am in offices, I would just pray on a chair.
Yeah.
The most important is I will not leave my prayer regardless.
Yeah.
So it happened so many times where people would come to me and tell me that what I did is wrong. My prayer is not accepted. And thank you, Lord. I tell him, thank you. You're being my God now here and you're telling me.
Yeah.
Who has assigned you as my
handler? Crazy.
My handler. And the thing is that one of the worst thing is when someone comes to you and says salatak mish maqbula, amalak mish maqbul, what you did has not been accepted. Where did you check?
To have the gall and the audacity and the confidence to just come up to you and be like, your prayer isn't accepted.
Yeah, to represent the Almighty and that's speak crazy. On His behalf.
That's crazy. That's crazy. My point is, what I'm trying to say, though, Dad, is because I think, people always ask, because we get questions, and these podcasts are and episodes are a way to answer certain questions. But my point is, if you find yourself struggling to let go of a vice in this dunya, because we all have our vices, and I always focus on looking inward because you mend your own garden. Do not focus on other people's gardens. But if you find yourself struggling to let go of a certain vice, my personal advice, and this is what I've done, is I'll pray on it. Truly. People underestimate just the power of praying on something. I'll just pray on it and I'll be like, Ya Rabbi, I know this isn't good for me. I know this isn't the healthiest thing to do. I'm struggling to let go of it. Shilu min albi, remove it from my heart. And subhanAllah, do not underestimate the power of prayer. I struggled to not wear makeup for the majority of my life. You know, some people have a makeup phase and a no makeup phase. Most of my girlfriends have had a phase of both. I've never had a no makeup phase. It's just been straight acrylic. Slap it on my face like for at least the past 15 years. At least. I think I've been wearing makeup since I was 12 or 13. And especially because I was insecure about the dark circles under my eyes. I don't know what happened. My friend Aya, bless her soul, was just like, you don't need it. She's not the first person to say it to me. She's maybe number million, you know? I don't know what happened the past 10 days. It's just been removed from my heart. I didn't even ask for it. And like, I've never been on camera like this. I literally took a big concealer, did this, a blush, did this, did my lips, and here we are. But I leave the house without makeup on. I chill without makeup on. I see people without makeup on. This has never happened in my life. And for the first time, I feel great. I don't look at myself and go like, you look tired. You look sickly.
I remember many, many years ago, you came and asked me about the hijab. And then, and you wanted my opinion. And I was like, listen, there's no place for an opinion here. And if you ever think that I'm going to tell you it's not required or so, it's out of the question. I will never tell you this. What I will tell you is just feel if you cannot wear it and if you don't want to wear it now, that's fine. Just be a good woman and do the right thing and the time will come.
Can I say what you did tell us as well? You added something. I remember when I was 15, 16, my sister and I were hijabi adjacent. We were like really interested in it. And we went to you and we're like, yeah, we think we want a hijab. And you looked at us and you were like, go commit to your prayer for 1 year. pray your 5 prayers a day. Don't miss one. Don't falter in it. Okay? Then come tell me. Because it's not about the scenery outside. Absolutely. You mend your soul first. And then we talk about outside appearances.
Absolutely. I will never forget. I will never forget this incident of me being around an individual in Mississauga or something like this in Canada.
Yeah.
And that person on a public beach on a very open society came with a niqab. Like came with completely covered with the, and I'm like, and why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Everybody was looking at her, not the other people swimming. And my advice is, this is a bit too much. You just be decent as much as you can, because you are actually attracting
attention, which is the opposite of what it's meant to do.
Of what you're supposed to do. And that individual did not like what I said. And later, that individual left Islam all.
The extreme radical fascism.
Yes.
Turned to that person leaving Islam entirely. Crazy. She made her, like, karahat halha bid-deen.
I don't know how did, because it wasn't genuine.
Yeah, of course. But it's when you do it to yourself and then you make yourself hate something, but that, it wasn't even true. That wasn't even the real Islam.
It wasn't genuine. It was not, what she was doing was not genuine. You could tell it was for the attention of others. I want to go around with a bang statement.
It was the show of piety rather than the inner piety.
Exactly. What would I object? If you want to, you can do that. I would let anyone just seek the right and do the right thing. If you are okay with the hijab, it's okay with the hijab. Go ahead. It's
not specifically about the hijab. I think what I'm trying to say is anything that you're trying to achieve in Islam to get closer to, like, for example, to wear the hijab or to pray 5 times a day, or in other cases like masalan to stop doing the wearing nail polish, or to stop certain things like that. What I'm saying is, or even a vice, like let's say you smoke, you just smoke, you pray your 5 times a day but you smoke your cigarettes. And what I'm trying to say is, if there is a vice or something in your life that you wish to alter, amend, pray, improve, get rid, just pray on it.
Pray on it.
Don't underestimate the power of prayer.
And don't leave the good things you do because you have a bad thing.
Yeah. It's not because that's true. So let's say you do, for example, pray your 5 times a day, but you have nail polish on, and then you decide to stop praying because you have nail polish on. That's the
You know, there is وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Always, if you do something wrong,
yeah,
make sure you follow it with something good.
Yeah, with a good deed, for sure.
Yeah.
We've strayed. I'm so sorry. We strayed. But to love, unless we learn to love God's creation, we can neither truly love nor truly know God.
Yeah, and the most difficult thing to love in God's creation is the human being, because they are mirrors of you.
This is true.
Only those who've been blessed with sainthood are in actually, they just love all creation, and they just love all humans, even the sinful ones. Their love is, and there is actually a misunderstanding is how, because you could see in the history some of the most biased people who were in power, they would carry a punishment on someone who does wrong, because it's part of the law, the Sharia. And how would you love somebody yet still punish him? Well, actually, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
If it is required. Yeah. There is احترام القانون أو احترام الأحكام. To have respect for the application of the rules,
yeah,
the godly rules, it's part of the love.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Rule 16. Oh, by the way, it's Friday the 13th.
Today?
Yeah. Mashallah. Abu Lul's favorite day. Mashallah. It is my favorite day. Okay. Subhanallah, what were we just saying about focusing on the inner journey? Rule 16. Bismillah, rule 16. Real faith is the one inside. The rest simply washes off. There is only one type of dirt that cannot be cleansed with pure water, and that is the stain of hatred and bigotry, contaminating the soul. You can purify your body through abstinence and fasting, but only love will purify your heart.
It is true. It is true. Love is the only fire that burns all the dirt out of the heart. And it's amazing how it's easy to claim anything. But if you genuinely in a bath of love, godly love, and you really seek that, you need to train yourself how to love your brethren, how to love one another. And it's, you know, it starts with the smallest things. Start with doing things how small they are, and not to ask for a payback.
Yesterday I posted a quote, C.S. Lewis. He's a Christian, I think. I don't know if he was a priest or a philosopher or a writer, but I really like him. There are some nuggets of wisdom that have come out of this man. But Bismillah, C.S. Lewis says, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive. And I see it all the time. People who preach, let it go, forgive and forget, let go and let God. And then when it comes to them and letting go of certain experiences that they've gone through, or not holding on to certain grudges with people who have wronged them, they will hold on to a burning pot even if it burns their hands to the bone. It's crazy. The rage that some people will hold and allow to fester inside of them, you know? And the resistance towards love. Now, I think the way the world is built today, it's very much done by design. They are trying to remove love from our hearts entirely. To not love our neighbor, to not... You cannot have a conversation with anyone and differ on opinion anymore.
No, you cannot.
It is impossible. Even you see it clear as day with the reels that I post and the comments that you get. I'm a random girl on the internet. You could just scroll away. One would think you had the power to just swipe up, you know? But to be so filled with hatred and rage that you just... It's insane.
And that insane laughing emoji.
I know. I'll give you an example. The reel I posted yesterday when I said Allah in the universe. And those radical Muslims get all up in my comments of, how can you say the universe? And I answered someone and I said, one would almost be mistaken, could almost forget, could almost think that Allah created the universe. And then they try to one-up me with, are you being sarcastic? We know Allah. No, when I say the universe, I mean every component in this dunya that Allah utilizes to get me exactly what I want to my doorstep.
If you're sick, what do you do?
You go to the doctor. That I don't promote doctors on this show.
It's okay. It's screw generally big pharma. Speaking, you go to someone who has the power of healing.
Yeah.
First of all, you pray for healing and do what? You go to a doctor, someone you think who can help you.
Yeah. Well, is that not part of the universe?
Isn't that part of...
So that's... I want to make this very, very, very clear. Because they'll tell you this new age, whatever. And then they tried to insult Paulo Coelho and the alchemist.
لا خالق إلا الله لا عالم إلا الله لا قادر إلا الله. And that power, that he passes... جل وجهه, he passes some of his knowledge in the form of the wisdom and the knowledge of a doctor. The wisdom and the knowledge of a builder, the wisdom and the knowledge of a writer.
Yeah, there's Islamic architecture, yeah, Islamic engineering.
With it, you call it the universe, but what is it? Or a dunya. Or you call it a tabi'a. Now, if you disconnect, sever nature from the creator of nature.
That's madness.
That's madness.
That's disrespectful.
That's disrespectful, and that is shirk.
Mm.
Or that is ilhad.
Mm.
But if you know that nature is a creation of the creator, it's been embedded with its own rules and powers and. But does nature create by itself? Does nature allow trees to grow by itself? Does nature...
No, it's all Allah.
No.
So, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. To me, it's just, it blows my mind.
So this unclarity, where does it come from? It comes from their own minds.
You know what I was about to say? It comes from thought, from thinking.
Yes.
This thinking is a disease.
And also, it also comes from another perspective, that it comes from an ego that is chasing acknowledgement. And if I cannot receive this acknowledgement by proving that I'm good, I need to prove that you are bad.
Okay.
You got it.
I do.
So you will find this continuous attack on anything you say or you do, not because there is a genuine gift of knowledge there,
mm-hmm.
or no, because I'm not adding, so I'm subtracting. I need to do something.
Yeah. But speaking on the rule, okay, about love and how it's the only thing that can cleanse. One of the quotes I posted yesterday as well is, it says it's by Denzel Washington, and I think it is. But anyway, excuse me. It says, some people will never like you because your spirit irritates their demons.
Oh, yes.
And I think that's so true. Oh, yes. Some people will just meet you and label you a horrible person. You know, you could do the most for someone and they still wouldn't acknowledge it because there's a lot of darkness in this world. And your light will piss these people off. It'll just...
Once, some time ago, I said in front of my master, I said, I was going through an experience and there was someone sitting with us, and I told that person, I said, when you find people attacking you and telling you that you are associating a lot of negative things to you, be careful, they might be interested in what you have.
What do you mean?
And I'm gonna tell you now.
Okay.
I saw this many times. When people want to get what you have, they want to rob you of what you have.
They'll talk about it poorly?
They will talk about you poorly. They will demonize you for some time. And in this process, as if they are justifying.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. As if they are justifying to themselves the act of robbing you. Because I'm at the end of the day taking this from, not from a good person. He deserves it.
Continue.
So we do this negative attack on others. You see it a lot, this negative attack on other people, either to prove that we know more than them.
Yeah.
Which is, it's like, أنا خير منه. Who assigned you as خير منه? I assigned myself. I know I'm better than him. That's the most demonic and the first demonic act we know of.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is to justify the invalid or in encroachment on their rights.
Yeah.
Oh, you see it even in the history, where certain cultures demonize others, belittle them, remove the human aspect from them, so they can take their homes and lands. You see what happened to the Red Americans and to the Red Indians.
Yeah,
and
the indigenous. Indigenous.
And so it's all up. They're not human. They are.
You dehumanize someone before you attack them.
Exactly.
Oh, for sure.
Exactly.
I have seen it happen to me, to other people. And when it starts to happen, I'm very cautious of it. It's very interesting because people will... I've seen it happen to me. And at first, it used to bother me so much. But after a while, you kind of... It's a blessing to see happen, to be able to pinpoint it. I've seen people, I was the best person ever. They loved me so much. they could not imagine a world without me. You know what I mean? And then, subhanAllah, biyawm wa layla, almost like a click of a finger, I become the devil. I become the devil. And you see it, how they'll take every little thing. Whoever's looking for a reason to hate you, absolutely, they'll find a reason to hate you. And they would twist and turn and mold and metamorphose everything that I said and did and make it seem so evil and so vicious and so demonic just to justify what they wanted to take from me, yes, what they wanted to do to me, yes, or what they had already done to me and I had no knowledge of at the time.
Yes.
You know? And subhanAllah, it used to kill me. It used to destroy my self-confidence and my soul. Now I laugh. Because I'll tell you what I really, really learned. You cannot take away from me what is meant for me. If Allah has declared something is mine, do your worst. Come at me with the best that you have. You will never take it away from me. And if something is not mine, you don't even need to try. And I don't even need to try. I can't. It's like trying to hold water in my hands. It's just going to slip through my fingers. Yeah. There is no way I can maintain what does not belong to me. And subhanAllah, with just time and with really this yaqeen and in Allah, I do not want what isn't mine. Because when I've tried to hold on to what's not mine, it turns into poison. It rots my life from the inside out until God forces me to let go of it like hot coal, you know, drop it, move on to the next thing. But what is mine, you cannot take. Try your best.
One of the hadith Qudsi, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says, لَأَرْزُقَنَّ مَنْ لَا حِيلَةَ لَهُ حَتَّى يَعْجَبَ ذُو الْحِيلَةِ. I shall bless, give to those who have no hila. In Arabic language means a trick and means the power,
yeah,
or the ability,
yeah.
So you can understand this in both ways. Those who are not tricky in their dealing, those who have no tricks in their dealing, or those whom when you see them you think they are not capable because they are not up to the standard of your knowledge or your standard of your sophistication and experience, yet they become way more financially successful than you. Mm-hmm. And how did that happen? Because he wants to. لَأَرْزُقَنَّ مَنْ لَا حِيلَةَ لَهُ.
Yeah.
حَتَّى يَعْجَبَ ذُو الْحِيلَةِ. The one who has all those trickery or all this knowledge and all this is standing there with this agape.
Flabbergasted.
Yeah, flabbergasted. How did this happen?
Mm.
At the end of the day, it's not our intelligence. It's not our trickery. It's not our that guarantees that we may receive. Not at all. And that applies also, subhanAllah, on the intangible rizq.
There's hair everywhere.
And one of the most precious intangible risks is the purity of love in your heart. That's one of the greatest risk a human can be given. The ability to genuinely love,
yeah,
and share.
I mean, sharing
and share.
Yeah, amen. Okay. Bismillah. Rule 17. Shams to the pimp. Shams says this to the pimp.
Allah.
To the pimp of a brothel. Okay. Yeah. Rule 17. Bismillah. The whole universe is contained within a single human being. You. Everything that you see around, including the things that you might not be fond of and even the people you despise or abhor, is present within you in varying degrees. Therefore, do not look for shaitan outside yourself either. The devil is not an extraordinary force that attacks from without. It is an ordinary voice within. If you set to know yourself fully, facing with honesty and hardness. Shams to the pimp. That means we all have a little pimp in us.
And it means we all have a little devil in us.
That's why I said
a big one.
Yeah, yes. We all have a little shaitan in us for sure. You know, I used to think that it was shaitan that was like affecting me and my life and whatever, until I realized that I was my own worst devil.
I sometimes pity him.
The devil?
The shaitan.
Oh, he's on the wrong side of history.
When you see what humans can do, is like, really, you would, some of those humans can teach Shaitan a lesson or two.
Yeah. I know.
And
oh God.
Allah Jalla Jalalu in the Kitab says, Shayateen al Jinni wal Ins yuhi ba'duhum ila ba'din zukhruf al qawli ghurura. So, there are Shayateen of Ins and Shayateen of Jinn.
Yeah.
To be satanic with your nature, with your thoughts, it's the contrary. It's the opposite of being holy, being Rahmani, being Rabbani.
Yeah. But see, subhanAllah, everything we say comes back in the next rule or two. But it says everything that you see around, including the things that you might not be fond of and even the people you despise or abhor, is present within you in varying degrees. If I've said this once, I'll say it a million times. Anything you see in someone that you do not like, that you despise, that triggers something in you, that sets your hair on edge, without a doubt, you have inside of you.
Absolutely. This concept that the universe is within you is you see it a lot in the Sufi tradition. You see it a lot in
this is a Sufi book, Shams bin Rumi.
You see it a lot, but you see it in most of the old traditional spiritual paths. And there are a lot of evidence to it. We are not limited creation.
Yeah.
What's being given to us and within us is so valuable and big that it's beyond the grasp of an average brain. You need to really spend years and years into the spiritual path, so you start to grasp some of it.
Yeah.
But this duality of khair and shar, evil and good, is within almost all humanity. I say almost here, too cold, because this duality is what. Without this duality, we will just be pure angels.
Yeah.
Without this duality, there is no testing. Without this duality, there is no need for this dunya.
Yeah.
And subhanAllah, that's where you see, مَا بِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Each and every good in you is from Allah Jalla Jalalu, which is that ruhaniya, that rabbaniya, which is connected to the spirit. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن شَرٍ فَمِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ.
Yeah.
And the nafs is connected to what? All that which is in the low domain. It's the, and if it's not being purified and it's not being looked after and it's not تأديب النفس, refined,
yeah,
it ends up to be demonic and evil.
Yeah.
You see, as a child, we as children, the only thing that is so radiant and so clear about a child is the ego. And if you want to see that the ego in its most pure form, it's in a child, actually. He has no consideration for anybody else except himself. He has no consideration for his mother, his father. He wants what he wants and he needs what he needs.
Yeah.
But Jalla Jalalullah, Allah Jalla Jalalu has engulfed this baby, this pure ego, with so much love and acceptance,
yeah,
which allows it to tasawwuf, they say nafs al-tifl al-madhmuma, the ego, the repulsive ego of a child.
Mm.
That's something that you need to pray to get rid of.
Yeah.
And you need to work hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
Is there anything more heavy than an overspoiled adult?
Entitled adults. I literally got goosebumps.
And where does that come from? From all this unrefined egotistical traits that are left from childhood.
Right. Yeah.
They become heavy. They're heavier than mountains. And a lot of them end up killing themselves. Many. The suicide within them is so high. Because that ego cannot even stand itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful, Dad. Do we move on? You know, where it says the devil is not an extraordinary force that attacks from without. I might be going on a limb here, but bear with me. The devil is nothing without us. What can he do without us? What could he achieve without us? What could he advance in his plan without us?
He has no rule on the angels.
No, it's just us.
He has no rules on the animals.
Or the universe.
Or the universe.
Just us.
So he needs us. We the humans are his media.
Yeah.
For his evil to come out.
So one could argue that evil is purely human.
Not purely. Partially human.
Yeah.
But
partially, sorry.
Yeah.
But one could argue that evil stems from humanity.
Without
we enable it. Because what could he do without us? That's what I'm trying to say. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah,
without we letting go, without we allowing the devil. He
could do nothing.
He could know nothing.
Yeah.
And all the work of the devil you see around you is done by whom? By humans.
I know.
That's all their soul and their
facts.
Alhamdulillah.
Facts. Alhamdulillah. Facts. Okay. Rule 18. Now, I have said this many a time. But I have said this in my harsh, tough love, straightforward kind of way. Rule 18. If you want to change the way others treat you, you should first change the way you treat yourself, fully and sincerely. There is no way you can be loved. What? Am I reading this right? Give me uno momento, por favor, rule 18. Oh. If you want to change the way you treat, you should first change the way you treat yourself. There's no way you can be loved. Ah, okay. If you want to change the way others treat you, rule 18. If you want to change the way others treat you, you should first change the way you treat yourself fully and sincerely. There is no way you can be loved. Once you achieve that stage, however, be thankful for every thorn that others might throw at you. It is a sign that you will soon be showered in roses.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's what they say. If you want to have the rose, you should appreciate the thorn. That's true.
There are no roses without thorns.
Really? Not one
what
rose?
What comes first?
The thorn. The stem.
The stem.
The thorn. And then it buds.
Yes.
And sprouts and blooms.
You see, it's a very old universal and spiritual concept. It says, ibda bi nafsik.
Yeah. Mend your own garden.
And ibda bi nafsik, some... As again, like most of those holy concepts can be twisted. Allahumma salli alayka sayyidi Rasulullah. Ibda bi nafsik does not mean start showering yourself with the everything which is good. Because it means start working on yourself.
Yeah.
Don't, la tanshagil bil akhari. Start mending your own garden, as you said. Start.
Yeah, there's a quote, as cliche as it is, it's such a cliche quote, but I really love it. And it said something along the lines of, don't go chasing butterflies, mend your own garden, and then the butterflies will come. But how simple, but how true. If you go, you might catch one or two butterflies if you're going out chasing butterflies. Yeah, sure. But when you mend your garden, there's a hikmah there, right? Of if you just focus on yourself. Focusing on yourself and mending your garden here, it's not an easy, fun journey all the time. Because by the time the blooming starts, you already changed the manure, got dirt under your nails, sweat under the sun, got a farmer's tan, put in the hours. It's not easy.
And
maybe got bit by an insect or two.
And few thorns that...
And a few thorns that prick your finger, and guess what? You might even bleed. Yeah. But by the time your garden is mended and your flowers bloom, And what a beautiful garden it can be, colorful with anything you decide to plant. You want to plant carnations? You can't. You want to plant dandelions? You can. You want to plant roses? Whatever it is, you can. And subhanAllah, we even live in a day and age where if you say you're not in a country that's humid enough, build a greenhouse and make it humid. Like, do you get what I'm saying? You could literally do anything. And then to have that and then just watch the butterflies fly in and stay.
In the Egyptian colloquial, there is a phrase says, خَلِّ بَالَكْ مِن نَفْسَكْ. And this is one of those beautiful phrases that have been taken away from its original meaning.
Yeah, I was going to say it's almost like a threat now.
It's like a threat, or means look after yourself. The original meaning of it was an old, old, beautiful Sufi meaning. Yeah. It says, خَلِّ بَالَكْ means purify your al-balu al-khatir, your inner thoughts, your inner self. خَلِّ means clear.
Clear, yeah, yeah.
مِن نَفْسَكْ, which clear your mind and heart from your ego.
Yeah.
See how it's been has been taken all the way from its original meaning.
Yeah.
Mean purify yourself. Purify your inner from your ego,
yeah.
Which means that you will be enlightened, subhanAllah. You will reach the enlightenment.
So it says if you want to change the way others treat you, you should first change the way you treat yourself. I'll tell you, I told you this yesterday, like privately, but I'll say it. How do I say this in the right way? Recently got rid of someone in my life. Anyway, recently just blocked and deleted someone. And my friend inquired about what had transpired. And she said, what happened? And I was like, oh, I blocked them. And very nonchalant. And I forgot about, don't even think about it. If something doesn't serve me, I'm very comfortable cutting it off and not thinking about it. But she was in shock. And she's like, oh my God, why? Because again, this whole, we have to give someone 1,021,000 chances and let them walk all over us and destroy our self-confidence because then we're good people. Blows my mind. Anyway, my answer was because I actually like myself. I do.
Yeah.
I like my peace of mind. I like the life I've built, this quaint little life I've built for myself. I actually value myself. I actually don't want to be sad. Crazy. Crazy to say this today. But, you know, and I was, it's true, but that didn't come easy. It's very interesting because to change the way you treat yourself, it's very hard. How can you expect someone else to love you when you don't love yourself? And loving yourself isn't going and getting your nails done or having a girl's night or a guy's night. That's not the self-love I'm talking about. I'm talking about that deep, deep love of it's you against the world, not in the sense that everyone's an enemy, but in the sense that push comes to shove, you've really got yourself. Push comes to shove, you can look at yourself in the mirror and actually smile. You know what I mean? That self-love of understanding the hand that Allah has dealt you, that you are made in His eye, that kind of self-love. It doesn't come easy. It's very, very hard.
Can you read it again?
I feel like this English, is it me? Have I been staring at it too long? I can't tell. If you want to change the ways others treat you, you should first change the way you treat yourself. Fully and sincerely, there is no way you can be loved. Once you achieve that stage, however, be thankful for every thorn that others might throw at you. It is a sign that you will soon be showered in roses.
Well, there is much, much deeper meaning here than just the Platonic way this self-love is being propagated.
Yeah, that's why I said it's not in the way people...
You know, if you want... This is about treating yourself in a different way. And the self here, I will only think of the self as the ego. Because if you are in this path of love and you want to reach to heavenly love, you need to know what an ego is and you need to deal with it properly.
Okay.
And you need to treat your ego in the right way. And treating the ego in the right way does not mean acknowledgement, approval, or bumper. It means knowing what the ego is and what an enemy it can be. And then start to treat it accordingly. It's ta'dibun nafs. And through this process of ta'dib al-nafs, the purification of the ego, you might come to a stage where really thorns and stones are thrown at you. And then you have to accept it and love it. Because that's a sign that the roses are going to come. So there is only someone who's been acquainted with the Sufi cult, philosophical dimension of the world would understand this in a partial way.
I'm really tired.
Alhamdulillah. It's been a long day.
It has been.
You did a lot of work.
I did. I mean, I wanted us to film tonight because you're leaving tomorrow morning and we can film another episode tomorrow. I'm shutting down. I kind of just want to order dinner and watch a movie.
Yeah, let's go pizza.
No, I don't want pizza. Why are you always...
Are we recording?
Yeah, we are. Hey guys, we have to like say pizza. Bye, Baba.
Yeah.
Bismillah. Anyway, I'm just tired, but we'll film another episode tomorrow. We did good today.
Alhamdulillah.
We did like a few rolls. And then okay, I don't know what the person's name is. Can I find this comment? Someone, the disrespect, bro. Wallahi, the disrespect. Stanna. Some of these people in the comments really come for me. Like, get off my page. No one's forcing you to be here. Wait. It's literally here. Attends. Okay. Bismillah. Aw, bless. God bless. Wait, where is it? Wait, I need to find it. I told you about it and you were like, that's crazy. Bismillah. Oh, wow, there's actually a lot of comments here. Where is it? When I said there's a surprise coming soon. I think it was here. Wait. I have to find this because it's actually hilarious. Where is it? But where? Anyway, someone. I'm being not cool here. I said that there's a surprise coming soon. Okay, like this was either the last episode we filmed in the studio or here, and someone commented. Okay, I hope the surprise is a solo episode from your Baba. Like the disrespect some people have. It's just rude.
That won't happen. It wouldn't. If it.
I mean, I wouldn't mind you do a solo episode. I'd love that. But I would only be able to release it on Apple Podcasts because I can't film you. Unless you guys want to look at a blank canvas all, or just me like
with
this.
With all love, I have really no interest in that. If I have something to say, I want it to come through you and with you. And that's more than I hope for.
I mean, to be fair, I stayed quiet most of today and let you speak, so because I'm exhausted. But yeah, that's neither here nor there.
Now, when I feel that you are not in the right energy, I talk more.
Yeah, I noticed. It's okay. I mean, I just wanted to get today's episode out of the way and... Not in a negative sense, but alhamdulillah, I'm glad we filmed. And also, you know, I'm still getting used to the setup and doing it myself.
Beautiful work. Thank you.
Thank you. Need to help me set it up. But I know we're learning, as everything is a learning curve. But let's order food and watch a movie.
Yes, let's do that. Okay,
and then we will film again tomorrow. So you guys are getting two episodes this week. Yay!
Ya Allah, salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.